Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Oh man, it feels good to be back.
I'm still trying to figure out how this microphone-y thing works again.
Sleep deprived new father.
Yeah, that's the best way to jump back in this stuff. Is to just go, hey, you know what? I'm averaging 3 to 5 hours of sleep every night, so let's talk some Disney stuff and just see where it goes.
Well, so now Disney's been reopened for 2 weeks now, and everything seems to be going pretty smoothly. I've actually been pretty surprised at like things like mask compliance and how like wait times for the most part haven't been that bad. There have been days where Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway and Tower of Terror have been like walk-ons. And over in Animal Kingdom, Friday the 24th, cast members were letting you get off of Flight of Passage and turn around and just walk back in, because there was no wait. But then other days, you know, the wait is an hour or two. I know Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway the other day was over an hour wait. So it hasn't been consistent, but I'm surprised that some days there's like no wait on these very popular attractions.
Yeah, that part has been a little bit odd to me, because you know we know that the parks are severely limiting the number of people that can come in, and you
right.
have to, you know, make your reservation and all of that stuff. So that's affecting all of these wait times and everything, and is definitely the way to go about it if you're going to have people socially distancing in line and stuff, because you simply, well, heck, not even in line, just in the park itself, people cannot even attempt. Like, you know, if you go to Disney, try to stay 6 feet away from
right.
everybody else, and just walk from Fantasyland to Tomorrowland, and try not to get within 6 feet of another person on a normal day at Walt Disney World.
Try not to,
most of the year.
Try not to touch another person.
Yes, yeah. Even that's a
6 feet,
a tall order. So you know, clearly this, you know, those measures have affected all of this. But yeah, it is a little bit weird the way that you do see that, where it's walk on one day and it's, you know, 60 or 70 minutes, and you know, when you see the rides hit those longer wait times, you quickly realize exactly why. The limits on how many people can be there are there, because, you know, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, like you said, was over an hour, a couple days ago, and I saw pictures where it was flowing out of the overflow.
Yeah.
And they had set up a decent amount of overflow for that as well. But when each group of people is 6 feet from the group in front of them, those lines also get super long.
Well, then and then ride capacity is affected too, because you can't
yeah.
seat every row of every car.
Right. So it's a lot of stuff, but I don't know, man. I am like you in that while this has not been a perfect reopening by any stretch, I never expected it to be a perfect reopening. And in fact, I expected it to be a much rockier start than what it was.
I thought it was going to be a colossal failure. I thought it was just going to be a joke. But as far as has gotten to Texas, it seems like it's going pretty smoothly. There's been a few, you know, people were using the, well, I have a cup of coffee in my hand, I can't wear a mask and walk around and drink coffee. And so Disney went back and said, well, if you want to not wear your mask, you have to be 6 feet away from everybody else, and you need to be standing still. Then you can take your mask off and drink your coffee. So they're, you know, they're making these changes as as necessary to keep everybody safe. But from you know, hearing about people who have gone, it's 100% compliance. Like everybody who's written or podcasted about being there has said 100% mask compliance. Or you don't see anybody, cast member or otherwise, who's not in, you know, one of the relaxation zones or stopped and drinking coffee or eating a, you know, whatever, eating a pretzel, not wearing a mask. So that's pretty awesome that people are being respectful of that rule and not, for the most part, pitching a fit.
Yeah, and not making what is already a, you know, it's still a less than optimal experience.
Sure.
Any worse, because even, like, and not just for yourself, but for the cast members, for the other people who are trying to make the best of this, you know, of this whole thing. Yeah, it's great to see people just, you know, trying to make it easy on everybody where they can. And yeah, I 100% realize that this is not, like, I don't doubt that there has been an incident here and an incident there. But I expected to hear about large scale incidents by this point of things. So good on you, everybody, for not being stupid and not being crazy.
One thing I am disappointed about is that work on Rise of the Resistance was not able to, like, continue through this. I think we talked about that when they were, you know, first getting ready to close, is I was hopeful that the people who are trying to get Rise working would be able to work basically 24 hours a day on it, you know, testing it and making sure it was up and running when the parks reopened. But like a week after they closed to guests, they closed to cast members. And so, like, all construction on the castle was stopped and everything. And so the Rise of the Resistance still doesn't run super well. They still are struggling to get all the boarding groups in and everything. But I can't imagine how, like, great it would be if they had 6 weeks to just work on it all day, every day, and get it, you know, to where it's at 100% capacity.
Yeah, I feel like Rise is one of the things that, if I was to take a trip right now, would probably create more stress for me in its current, in this current situation, than even what it would have before. So
yeah.
Rise has moved to multiple drops, right? Is it two drops, right?
Cause two I a feel day, like, yeah. It used to be three.
I feel like there were, I was about to say it was three for a period of time. Now it's down to two.
It was 10, 2, and 4. I think now it's just 10 and 2.
Right. But this is also a change from the initial setup, which was everybody first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And then that's it, right?
Yep. But they're the thought was, if you did 10, 2, and 4, you would open up a few groups at 10. Everybody would try at 10. The people who got in a group at 10 would be blocked from getting in any other groups, so you wouldn't have to worry about all of the 10 o'clock people trying to get in at 2, and so on. But it seems like they're still so limited in capacity that they're out of groups in seconds still.
Right, and so you still have that aspect of things, and now with the whole park reservation system and all that kind of stuff, now, and I haven't heard how much, you know, how far out, how much trouble people are having getting in. But, you know, prior to this point, if you planned a 5-day visit to Disney and you really wanted to make sure you did Rise, I would say, well, go to Hollywood Studios on day one of your trip. And if you don't get to do Rise, well, then, you know, go ahead and plan Hollywood Studios for another day of your trip and give yourself another shot at that. And, you know, that is going to be less possible now than it would have been before, and can also more seriously disrupt your overall vacation experience. So I'm kind of like you. I was really hoping that they could have worked it out. And you know, and here's the thing. We don't hope it nearly as much as all of the people who are working on this.
Yeah.
All
the parks and resorts people were probably way more bummed than we are.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and so you've got that whole situation still going on. And then, like you said, you know, this stopped work on the castle. We're now hearing that the Spaceship Earth thing is who knows-ish. You know, all of the, not all, but a lot of the Epcot stuff, it sounds like is getting a severe or at least is very likely going to end up with a big change in scope. I don't know, man. This is a weird, like, so question for you, given like, and I can 100% understand why you would back off of a lot of the changes that they were going to, that they were planning to make for Epcot, given the current, you know, financial position Disney finds themselves in, the uncertainty they find themselves in. Like, 100%, you know, now is not the time to just go spending, you know, your war chest, right?
Right. But, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Given that, I feel like most of what we're hearing is it's very likely they're going to go through with a light version of a lot of these things,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it seems like they've scrapped Spaceship Earth completely because they've removed it from that crazy projection mapping room. It's just gone from that.
Right. So the for now is that is removed. I'm kind of feeling like, and really, really, I get that now is not the time to make this decision, but I kind of feel like I would almost prefer that they pulled it all back.
Yeah.
For right now and held off until a time where they could do this stuff the way that they, and I get, well, okay. So I do also realize that there could be a darkest timeline, if you will, where they never get back to a situation where they feel comfortable doing things in that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, or it's going to be so far in the future when they can do that, that they've got to do something in the meantime. But I don't know. I kind of feel like you could kick the can down the road, you know, 6 months or even a year, if that's what it takes to see how, you know, how everything falls before you make the decision. Cause I don't know. I don't want them to go halfway on this stuff and end up with a cheap a cheap faint image of what could have been for this new app. Because like we're going to have all of these things for a good chunk of time, I expect. And I don't want that to be done on the cheap. And it sounds like a lot of the stuff is going to have to be done on the cheap.
Mm-hmm. See, here's what doesn't make sense to me about the Epcot thing. So they're pulling back all this Epcot stuff, which I'm totally cool with. And then they go and they announce a complete retheme of Splash Mountain, which is this enormous mountain made of concrete that has these enormous pumps and like, it's just this huge piece of infrastructure that is going to be extremely hard to do anything with and very expensive, and it's going to take a long time. I think the estimate is like a year and a half to do this retheme. And like, everything that they were planning to do at Epcot, and I don't doubt that like Spaceship Earth is really difficult to work on. It's a very enclosed space. I'm sure it is really hard to get stuff up to those show scenes.
No good backstage area to work from.
Yeah. But Spaceship Earth is show scenes that are, you know, stages for all intents and purposes. They're made to be stages. Splash Mountain is made of concrete. It is a form that was poured to be the shape it is. And so I guess if this Princess and the Frog re-theme is in the same vein as Haunted Mansion Holiday, where it's basically the same ride but just with different like if all they do is take the animatronics and show the decoration out, then I can see this being easy. But if they want to change the flow, change the route that the river takes, anything like that, I mean, that's going to be nuts. And if they're pulling back on this Epcot stuff because of money or because of time, it's like, then why announce this Splash Mountain thing right now? You know, it just, I don't get it. I don't get the correlation there. I don't get how both of those things can be true.
So we've been told that the Splash Mountain stuff has been on the storyboards for a couple of years now,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And that doesn't surprise me at all, because I think that you and I have even discussed, like, Princess and the Frog did pretty well, and that's something that doesn't have an attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
nobody knows who Br'er Rabbit and Br'er Bear are.
Yeah, Splash Mountain is essentially themed around something that most people, like, I would bet you that on a average day at Disney, you know, let's take away the days where, you know, it's like D23 is not going on, right?
Like Disney fan day or movie fan day
or
whatever.
But if it's just like an average day at Disney, I would say I would be surprised to find out that 15% of people knew that ride was themed after a Disney movie, and I would be surprised if more than 10% knew what movie that was.
Oh yeah, yeah, half that, I think.
So
especially people who think that's a movie. I think most people, if they even get the story, you know, about Don't Throw Me in the Briar Patch, that is told to kids as a fable. You know, it's a lesson, not a movie, you know? And so I totally understand what you're saying. Like, no one knows what that is based on. And so for all intents and purposes, that's not based on anything. That is a bespoke attraction that just exists.
Right. So it doesn't surprise me that it is, you know, that they have been kind of looking at, okay, what could we do with this? And then you have a ride that finds itself in, you know, it finds itself in a place that is not great given the current climate, and you have a chance for a win, and you were already planning on, you know, you were already looking pretty seriously at doing this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great PR move to just go ahead and say, hey, this is already a thing we're doing, so don't worry about it. It's already, you know, we're already good on this. So I totally believe that's why we heard about it when we did. Now, you know, outside of all of that, do we hear about this yet? No, I don't think so, because I don't think that they were ready to do this. And I would agree that it's probably something that, you know, doesn't go away, but probably is included on the things that get backburnered until the time where, you know, we feel a little bit more comfortable financially. We've got more people coming into the parks, all of that kind of stuff. But it is what it is. And, you know, this is where they found themselves. And so they went ahead and announced this change. And I don't really think that this is that big of a change. And so I don't personally, I don't think this is going to be, I don't think that, you know, Haunted Mansion Holiday is the thing to compare this to. I would compare this to Frozen Ever After. Hmm. Because that is the retheme that immediately came to mind when they said, yeah, we're going to redo Splash Mountain. It's going to take about a year and a half, and we're retheming this for Princess and the Frog. I'm like, okay, so they're going to Frozen Ever After this, because, you know, Maelstrom, they kept the same ride.
Mm-hmm.
They kept the same, you know, track and all that sort of thing. But then they made, you know, but then they completely changed it other than that, right? Like,
right.
all of the animatronics, the story and all that kind of stuff. Like, Haunted Mansion Holiday is an overlay, right? Whereas Frozen Ever After
it's
was
not a re-theme. Yeah, that's true.
Right. Was a re-theme. And so that's what I think. And so I do agree that it's not, you know, not easy to do those sorts of things, and it's not cheap to do those sorts of things. But it's, I also don't think it's as expensive as, you know, a test track, you know, where you are gutting the entire inside of a building and building a completely new attraction instead of, you know, what was there before, while just trying to keep the building for the sake of keeping the building or whatever. In this case, you're keeping the building, you're keeping the ride, you know, maybe you do away with the logs. I don't know what the logs become. Do the logs become river boats? Do they become keelboat? Like,
so,
and you probably even keep the river boat.
Yeah. So the second half, so there's another Disney podcast called Disney Dish, and it's Jim Hill and Lynn Testa. And the second half of episode 277, Jim Hill goes into great detail about what this ride is going to be like. He like pretty much turn for turn, it's what this attraction is going to be like. And I don't, you know, we don't need to get into everything. But according to him, they're going to keep the logs, and you're just going to be, you know, rolling or floating down the river in a cutout log. You know, obviously they'll take Br'er Rabbit off the front, but yeah, according to him, they're going to keep the ride vehicles the same, which, I mean, they're not themed, they're logs. So that I think of all the things on that attraction, keeping the logs is the one that's easiest.
Yeah, and otherwise you have to figure out how you're going to, you know, build that scoop onto something else and make it make sense thematically and all that. Yeah. So I don't think there's any issue with keeping a log, but there are even, you know, areas of that ride that can be kept. You know, if they, like, again, like the riverboat can be kept,
mm-hmm.
and can be rethemed around Princess and the Frog, if that's what they want to do.
It's going to be so weird when they're all singing Zippity Doodah, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what song you sing at that point.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm interested
there.
To
almost there.
Yes.
It's going to be almost there.
Definitely.
I don't even know why I had to ask that question. Other friends on the other side, dude, can you imagine, like, how bad off some people would come off that ride if they just really leaned into that section of Princess and the Frog?
That's what the final lift hill is going to be. Shadow Man. Ooh. Are you ready? Boom, 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 boom. And as you're going up there, like, according to Jim, that's, you know, everyone's favorite ABC Family TV show. According to Jim Belushi, he says that's what that last lift hill is going to be.
Man, this whole COVID thing is really creating some issues for us, because, you know, you get heavy hitters like Jim Belushi who are just starting up Disney podcasts, crowding out the normal guy.
I do not doubt that retheme is going to be a great attraction. I think it's going to be fun. I think that theming will be great. I have no doubt. I am going to miss the heck out of Splash Mountain. And further, it makes me incredibly sad that my kids are never going to get to ride that.
Yeah, and it should, because like that was a, you know, that's one of your favorite attractions at mm-hmm. Disney, and they're not going to get to see it. So it's gonna. So the only other thing that I'm now sitting here thinking about is like, it. So it's not nearly as egregious as Frozen Ever After, which. Sorry, Jenna, I'm just going to avoid trying to beat that drum very hard as much as I can. But, you know, everybody knows my feelings about, more than anything, my issue with that attraction is where it is located, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does Princess and the Frog... It does kind of-ish. But Princess and the Frog, I don't know, is it frontier-ish? I don't think it's frontier.
No, not at all. Absolutely not. It fits more in Disneyland and Critter Country.
Dude. Yeah, yeah.
Even Critter though Critter Country, was Critter Country not named because of Splash Mountain? Because of all the critters? Was that? That seems
dude,
like that was the.
I have issues knowing knowing enough about Walt Disney World, and now you're going to like pop up, hey. Let me ask you about Disney, dude. If I haven't done a fun fact about it, I don't know.
It's it definitely doesn't fit. Like, you would be hard pressed to convince anybody.
Bear Country was renamed Critter Country in 1988 in anticipation of Splash Mountain's July 1989 opening, says Wikipedia. Yeah. So it must be true.
It's the source of all knowledge.
Yeah, but yeah, at the same time. No issue whatsoever with, you know, there are plenty of critters.
Could they just take New Orleans Square in Disneyland and just, like, gerrymander it around Splash Mountain?
Well, but do they have to gerrymander it? I'm trying to think. There was an attraction. It was at California Adventure, I feel like. And we had this discussion one time about if you had, like, a really long entrance queue, like a really long queue, you could... You could have people enter in, you know, where we felt like it was going to make more sense. Maybe this was where we were like imagining up a track, but like, so you could do something like that. Cause yeah, if you put that in New Orleans Square, but then you kind of lose the whole, you would have to be completely hidden off from the whole mountain aspect of it
yeah.
as you walked up to it. And can you imagine like people walking up to, Princess and the Frog Mountain? Because that rolls off the tongue. Can you imagine people walking up to it and then being like, oh, no, man, the entrance queue for this? No, that's way over there.
It's a
that's
mile
way
away.
Over there.
You got to go over there, get in a tunnel, walk underground all the way back.
Well, they could. Yeah. So they could. It could be like a multi-section queue. And they could. So you could do the first part. You could enter. You could enter at New Orleans Square. You could do the first part of the queue. Then you could jump on a people mover. and it would take you through some, you know, pre-show, essentially, to drop you off into the queue for the main attraction. There you go. I've solved this. I've solved this for Disneyland, but, you know, yeah. Liberty, you'd have to do it from, like, Fantasyland, which is essentially the catch-all. At Magic Kingdom, I feel like does it fit anywhere else now? Then it fits in Fantasyland, right?
Sure,
because it's fantasy.
Everything's fantasy.
Yeah, let's just, you know what? Maybe that's where Maelstrom should have ended up. It was in Fantasyland. not bitter. But at yeah. the same time, yeah, it's we play fast and loose with. And you know what? Does this or do you know what does this? You don't know what does this. Does this mean that? A la Bear Country renamed to Critter Country. Thank you, Wikipedia, for making me sound smart. We could see it renamed to Frontierland.
Yeah. I mean, what makes Frontierland frontiersy? The arcade.
Big Thunder.
Country Bear Jamboree does not need to be necessarily frontiersy. That could be something else. That could be critters, you know. They're animals. Yeah, Big Thunder Mountain.
There's a lot of retheme involved in making Frontierland not feel frontiersy.
But not if it is a concern that Princess and the Frog does not have a place in a land called Frontierland. I feel like whether we're going to do they're not going to change it from Princess and the Frog. So we already know it's going to be Princess and the Frog. The only way, if it's a concern, to have Princess and the Frog make sense in the land that it's in, the only way to do it is to retheme the land itself. And I don't think there's that much. It depends on what they change it to. If they change it to future space, world, then yeah, it's going to be
where Princess and the Frog totally makes sense.
Right. But if they changed it to I don't know. I mean, just some other generic kind of New Orleans-y, down south something. I don't know. It would be easier to make that work. You don't have that much there's a lot of facades, I'll say, that are very frontiersy. But under those facades, I don't feel like there's that much. Big Thunder Mountain would be the biggest one.
Yeah, and I don't know what you would... I think that it's still going to be Frontierland, and I think that, again, Frozen Ever After has proven that is acceptable, you know?
Yeah, it has. I don't think they care.
Yeah, there will be some tenuous connection for Princess and the Frog that says that it makes sense in Frontierland. It's in an area that was once on the frontier, I guess.
Way back when Louisiana was the West.
man. But yeah, I don't know. It's and I have the benefit of I like Splash Mountain and I like it a lot. But Splash doesn't have that. It's not the thing that has that real tie for me. So while I will be sad to see it go in that, and not, like you said, not my kids not getting to see it as it was or whatever, I'm kind of excited about seeing Princess and the Frog at the same time. And I'm, having the benefit of all of the new animatronic stuff that they have, having all the new technology, I guess, overall that is available now, what they will be able to do with that. But again, and this kind of it all circles back to just like we were talking about with Epcot, I sure hope that because of everything financial right now, that this doesn't get value downed to jingle, to Jingle Cruise, essentially.
Mm, yeah.
Because that to me would be the real loss for everybody. That's when I would get seriously frustrated. As much as I don't like where Frozen Ever After ended up, Frozen Ever After is a perfectly competent attraction, right?
Mm-hmm.
And does some stuff really well. But if they had taken away Maelstrom for the sake of a Frozen attraction because they felt like they needed to have a Frozen attraction, and they had just put up a bunch of cardboard standees of the Frozen cast, I would have been, y'all don't even know. Y'all didn't even know. Y'all think I was upset about Frozen Ever After coming. It could have been so much worse, so much worse. And that's the way that I would feel if they cheat. Like, do Princess and the Frog right. If you are finally going to give it an attraction, do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And not just Princess and the Frog, do Splash Mountain right. That attraction right. deserves yeah. to be a, to continue to be one of the big things at Magic Kingdom.
And it deserves to be replaced by something that is as good.
Better. Let's just say better.
Yep.
It deserves to, because it doesn't deserve to be replaced with as good. It doesn't, then you could have just left what was there. It needs to be better. So make it better, Disney.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, Have a magical day.